So the past 2 weeks, we've been exploring some of the parables of Jesus. In today's gospel, we hear five more, bringing us to the very heart of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, or the reign of God, as that same phrase was expressed in the hymn we just sung. And the problem when we hear them today is that they're so familiar that they lose their freshness. So we need to remember how completely original they would be to those original listeners. Jesus did not speak in vague generalities or highfalutin theological language, but related his teaching to life's everyday tasks and trials. As one commentator, John Oman, observes, the speak picture, not in synagogue or temple, it's in digging and sowing and buying and selling and child's play and mixing with shady characters. The assumption is that if we do not find God in events as they happen and what we can do with them, and among men as they are, and what we can bring out of them, we shall not find him anyway. Jesus had the knack for taking ordinary things, piece of news, or folklore, or the commonplace experience of farmers, and seeing in it the picture of God at work. These are not straightforward tales told to illustrate a moral or to clinch an argument. Jesus told parables to provoke and challenge. The novelist P.G. Woodhouse wrote, "A parable is one of those stories in the Bible which stands up for some yard, but keeps something up its sleeve, which suddenly pops up and knocks you flat." In fact, I wonder if Jesus was physically in there and telling parable stories related to everyday life. I wonder what Jesus would tell stories about. Would he be telling stories about waiting in the bus stop for the bus to come? Ordinary, everyday life story. So we have five pictures of the kingdom: mustard seed, some yeast, hidden treasure, a vine, a net full of fish. The first thing you notice is possible to group some of these together. The mustard seed and yeast form a pair. So do the treasure and the pearl. And the fifth parable, the parable of the net, actually has a partner in the parable of the wheat and weeds, which was in the lecture last week. Jesus wasn't the first to talk about mustard seeds. In his time, the mustard seed was a well-established metaphor for smallness. "Consider the mustard seed," says Jesus. "There's nothing to it. It just appears to be an insignificant speck. Yet it grows into a large rock, into a tree. Or again, consider leaven, a piece of dough containing yeast, a tiny scrap in comparison with a great mass of more than a bushel of meal. In the evening, it's kneaded into the dough, covered with a cloth, left to stand overnight, and by morning, the whole mass of dough has risen." Of course, benefits of modern science. We know all about processes that cause the germination of the seed in the modern times. People in Jesus' day understood it in a very different way, as the biblical scholar Joachim Jeremias points out. "The modern man thinks what is going on beneath the soil and sees a biological development. The people of the Bible, passing through the same barren field, look up and see nothing less than resurrection from the dead." This is how Jesus' audience understood the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven, as parables of contrast. Their meaning is that out of the most insignificant beginnings, which are a mere nothing to the human eye, God creates his mighty kingdom which will embrace all the peoples of the world. All the peoples of the world. It must have been inevitable that during Jesus' lifetime, doubts were expressed about us and about his mission. All people could see was a tiny and unremarkable band of followers. No wonder they asked questions. Could a movement of people so small, so insignificant, possibly contain the great purposes of God? Well, yes, says Jesus. Despite all appearances to the contrary, the reign of God is surely coming. The parables that we've been hearing these past 3 weeks all point to this conclusion. Farms and seeds, wheat and weeds growing together, the tiny mustard seed becoming a mighty mustard bush, the lump of dough increasing in size. But then as Jesus continues, he gives us clues about how we are to respond to this, how we are to commit ourselves to the search and to the claiming. In his joy, Jesus says about the man who found the buried treasure. In his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Likewise, the merchant sells everything else to possess this new precious pearl. He sets aside everything he previously thought important in order to gain the kingdom of heaven. Now, I wonder all this might have to say to us as we meet today for our annual general church meeting, as we reflect on the life of our church this past year and on our plans for the future. What do the parables of the mustard seed and the scrap of leaven have to tell us? Perhaps it's about things that at first seem insignificant and vulnerable, but which grow and grow and almost unexpectedly produce great results. As for the behaviour of the merchant and the man who finds the treasure, they seem reckless, even foolish. I wonder if that is the key to those parables. Perhaps Jesus is testing the capacity for daring adventure and the courage and commitment of his hearers. People who play always the same cards, refuse to commit themselves, are likely to miss life's joy. God's kingdom requires courage, commitment, and dare we say, a sense of excitement, willingness to be surprised. A church, as we make our own plans for the future, can we learn something from their example? Can we be a little less cautious, a little bit more committed, a little bit more all in? And at the end of the gospel reading, having completed his teaching on parables, Jesus asks his disciples a question. Have you understood all these things? And that question is for us as well. Have you understood? Have you taken Jesus' parable storytelling to heart? Are you willing to apply it, to commit yourself with joy to God's topsy-turvy kingdom, where old assumptions are subverted and conventions turned upside down? Imagine the new reality, God's reality, the reality that we call the kingdom of heaven. The question sits with us. How do you answer, Jesus? What do you say? Amen.
Amen. Amen.